Hi folks, Joe Stagner from Microsoft here, and in this video, we're going to take a look at the default ASP.NET application template, and we're going to make some modifications to create users when they register as inactive and not logged in, and then add a little bit of administrative interface to allow an administrator to review those submissions for new members to their web application and decide whether or not they want to activate them one at a time. So the problem we're trying to solve here is this user spam where folks come and create users on your website, maybe even doing it with some sort of an automated script, and they're not actually real valid users. They're not users that you want to approve in your web application. So to get started, let's go ahead and select new project. I'll choose the default ASP.NET web application template. We'll call it Joe's Web Application and click OK. Now, the first thing that we need to do is we need to prevent the user from being logged in. By default, let's go ahead and run this, and we'll have a look at what happens by default. So, we can click Login, ask us to log in, but we haven't registered on the site yet, so we can select Register, and now I can register on the site. So, when I say create user, this will take a minute because it's going to, on my developer machine, generate the SQL Express database that contains all of the tables for the ASP.NET application services. Once that's done, you'll note what's happened here is I've automatically been logged in, right? So this is a login view control, and it's showing us the content for logged in users. And if we log out and then go log in again, I can log in as myself. And those credentials are valid. So there are two things we want to happen. One is I want that user to be created in the database as inactive, so they can't use it to log in until I approve it. The other thing is, I don't want the user to automatically be logged in. Doesn't make any sense to create an inactive user but log them in the first time. So there are a couple of changes that we need to make to the default template that was used to generate our website. If we go into the accounts folder and open the register.aspx page, we can add a couple of parameters to this create user wizard. First, I'm going to say disable created user equal true, because I want the user to be created as disabled in the database. Next, I'm going to set login created user equal to false. And one would think that by doing both of these, we would get the results that we want, that the user would get created in the database as inactive, not able to log in with those credentials, and not automatically logged in the first time by our application. So let's go ahead and run this and create another user and see if we get the results that we expect. All right, so we say login, register, let's create, we'll just call him user1. Demo password, and now we select create user, but you'll note we in fact did not get the behavior we expected. The user appears logged in. Let's log that user out, try and log in again as user one. Try and log in as user one, and it tells us your login attempt's not successful. It's because the user was created in the database as not activated, but we're still getting logged into the application when we create that user. And upon examination, what we'll find out is if we go look at the code behind in the register.aspx page, there's this line of code right here, forms authentication.set authorization set auth cookie. So basically, what this does is create an authorization cookie for the user that was just created. Well, we don't want that to happen. So let's comment that out. Go run again. Now let's choose login, create a new user. We'll register user 2. Now we'll create that user, and now you'll note that the user is not appearing as logged in. Right, so you have to make those changes to an application that is generated from the default ASP.NET template in order to get the user to be created as not logged in and not activated in the database. Now this is the case, we can go ahead and write a little bit of admin interface to administer created users that are not yet activated. So in order to do that, I'm going to go create a bunch of users in the database that are not active so that we can work against them in the new administrative functionality that we're going to build. So if we look at the ASP.NET DB database and we look at the data in ASP.NET membership, after I've created a bunch of users, I can select show table data for the membership table. And what you'll note here is I've got a whole bunch of users in here. And if we examine these a little bit more closely, what you can see is that this is the is approved column, and the only one that's approved is the user I created for myself before we made the changes. Afterwards, we created a bunch of user 1, user 2, they all have the same email address, and you'll notice that all of those have the is approved property set to false in the ASP.NET DB membership database. So all of those are unapproved, and those are the ones that we're going to administrate. So let's go back into Solution Explorer. I'm going to right-click on the solution and say, let's add a new folder. I'm just going to call this admin. Now, I'm doing this because we wouldn't want any old user to have access to this. We're not going to add URL-based restriction to this, but I'm putting this functionality in an admin folder so that you could, in fact, add roles-based restrictions so that only administrators in your application could have access to it. The next thing I'm going to do is add a default.aspx page. And I'm not going to implement anything in the default.aspx page, but it's always a good idea to have a default.aspx page in a subdirectory so that if somebody wanders to that subdirectory, they'll see that page and nothing else. So now that I've done that, let's create two files. I'm going to create one called activate users. And that's going to display a list of the inactive users in my application. Next, I'm going to create another called activate user single. And that will have the functionality that will actually set a user from inactive to active. Okay, so now that we've rounded out all of this functionality, let's close these. And we're ready to start implementing the activate users grid and the activate user functionality. Now, in order to do that, we're going to need a programming model to access the data in the ASP.NET DB database. And for the purposes of this demonstration, I'm going to use link to SQL. Normally, I like to use link to entities, but link to entities likes to have tables that have primary keys defined, and lots of the ones in the ASP.NET DB don't have primary keys. So it's simpler for us right now to use link to SQL, and since we're only going to be going against a SQL database with this code, it's perfectly okay to do that. We're going to use Visual Studio's Data Designer to generate the link to SQL data classes. In order to do that, we'll have to have access to our ASP.NET DB from inside the Server Explorer. Now, if it doesn't appear for you, here's what you need to do. Select the app_data folder and choose Show All Files, and then expand it, and you'll see the ASP.NET DB file there. Notice that there's this sort of generic white icon. That's because it's not included in the project. So if I right-click on that file and say Include in the project, now you can see, if I switch over, it's available in the Data Connections section of the Server Explorer. So next, in order to generate the data classes, I'm going to select my admin folder because that's where I want the files to exist. I'm going to right click and say add new item. Then in the installed templates. I'm going to choose the data collection, link to SQL classes, and I'm simply going to call this ASP.NET DB data classes. Well, let's put that at the beginning. Alright, so we now have a file, ASP.NET DB classes.dbml. Now I can hop over into Server Explorer, and I'm going to do two things. I'm going to grab the tables. Now, you don't have to use all the tables. I like to have access to everything in the ASP.NET DB database when I'm doing customization against the ASP.NET application services. We're going to be modifying data by way of the tables directly, but because of the way we want to display the data, we're also going to take advantage of some of the views that are available in the ASP.NET database. So let's go ahead and include those as well. Now I can save my DBML file, and then I want to make sure that I build the solution so that I can program against the data classes that are going to be generated. And we have a successful build, so the next thing we need to do is go and start to program the administrative ASPX pages that we included in the admin folder. So in Solution Explorer, in our admin folder, let's select the activateusers.aspx file, that's the plural, and here we're going to use a list view control. So in the Visual Studio Toolbox, down in the data control selection, we'll grab a list view, pop it on the page. Now, we're not going to be working with a data control, so we could also say, let's grab a linked data source control and configure the data source control, and then once we've done that, we could use the auto configure feature in the designer for the list view to sort of shell out what the list view should look like. But in our case, we're going to do data binding manually, and we're going to bind to the results of a link query. So we're going to have to custom write the templating for our list view control. And just so that you don't have to watch me do all the typing, I've pasted it in. And let's walk through and see what we've done. So here in our list view control, of course, we have an empty data template, and that's necessary in case the query that we're going to write returns a result set that says there are no inactive users in our membership database. Next, we have an alternating template and a standard template. They both do the same thing except for the colors are different. And notice that we have eval statements. So with the result set that's going to be bound to this control, we're going to do an eval and look for an item called username, and we're going to extract its value, same with email, same with create date. And then here, this is where the action takes place. I've got an anchor tag, standard HTML anchor tag, and the href, or the target, is this link to the activateuser.aspx page, the single of the two files that we created. Now, we're passing on the query string an argument user ID, and the user ID that we're passing in is the user ID of the item that we've retrieved from our link query, and then just a little text, activate user. Of course, down here we have the table headers in the layout template. This last one, actually, we could make an empty string. So that's what our list view will look like. So the next thing that we need to do is get access to the data items that we're specifically interested in. So let's go and look at the code behind for activateusers.aspx. And here we're simply going to write a link query using the link to SQL data classes that we previously generated. So here I can say using ASP.NET DB data ASP.NET data classes data context, db equal new and now I can say var users, and users will be a list of records from our query that represent users who are inactive in our membership table. But because we want to display the username as well as the user email information, and we need access to the user ID, rather than query the membership table, we're going to query a view. So if we swap over into Server Explorer for a moment and we look at the ASP.NET membership database. Let's look at that table again. You'll notice that we have the user ID, and we have their email, and we have the fact that they're not approved, but we don't have the actual username, and we want to display that. We want to make sure the username is, you know, something that's appropriate and valid. So if we go and look at the data in users, we'll see that we have the username, but we don't have the user's email, and we don't have the whether or not they're activated in the system. So we need information from both tables. Well, luckily, the ASP.NET membership database provides a view that's appropriate for us to use. It's view ASP.NET membership users. And if we have a look at that view, you can see here the view combines, we have the user ID, here's the email address, here's the is approved state. So it's got everything that we need to display our list view control. So what we're going to do is we're going to say var users equal, and now our select statement, we'll say uindb dot, and what we're interested in here is the view. So vw underscore membership users, where the is approved status is equal to false. Select you. Now, once we've done that, we can simply bind the result set of our query to our list view. So list view 1 dot data source equal our result set users, yes, and list view 1 dot data bind. So let's go ahead and build. Let's spell false correctly. Build again. Now let's go ahead and run our page. And here what you can see is we have all of the usernames that I created with their email address, the creation date, and a link to activate users. So by default, all of the users that are viewed here are inactive. You'll note that the user Joe Stagner that I created that was activated doesn't appear in this list. Right, so I can activate each of these users by clicking on this link. You'll notice down here in the bottom, we have activate user and a query string parameter, the user ID, and the GUID that represents the user ID. Of course, if I click on that, nothing's going to happen because we've created that page, but we haven't defined the logic. But now we're ready to implement the logic that will actually activate that user and remove it from our list view. So in Solutions Explorer, let's open up the ActivateUser.aspx page. We're not going to implement any UI here because this page is actually not going to render. All we're going to do is add logic inside the page load event handler, and we're going to be going against the ASP.NET DB data classes. And what we're going to say here is the first thing we need to find out is if we got a user ID on the query string. So let's say if not string is null or empty. Right, so if the string is not null or empty, and what we're referring to as the string is the request query string, and the specific element that we're looking for is that user ID element. And if that is the case, then we're going to go and delete that user. Now, whatever happens, we're not going to render anything in this activate user page. So whatever happens, we're going to say response.redirect back to the Activate Users page, the list view. So here we can say we're going to need to convert this the user's ID that we received on the query string back into a GUID. So we'll say user to activate, GUID user to activate equal new GUID, and we need to pass in is the string from the query string. So let's grab that, pass it into the overloaded constructor of the GUID object, and now we have a GUID that we can use in our query. Now we can say var user to activate equal this should be user to activate GUID, just so we don't get confused, user to activate equal from you in db dot, and notice now we're not going to go against the view, we're going to go, once we get IntelliSense to behave with us, that's the problem, call that db. Now we're going to say, well, the select is going to be from the ASP.NET memberships table, where the user ID in our record is equal to the GUID that was passed in on the query string. And then we'll simply select. And, of course, we're activating a specific user, so we'll select first or default. And then here we can say user to activate dot is approved is now equal to true db submit changes, and then, of course, we'll redirect. So let's build. And run our activate users page, the grid. Now we have a link that we should be able to navigate to. So let's look here. Look at user number one. That's the first user in the inactive users list. If I click on activate user, notice now when we come redirect back to this page and the page gets refreshed, user 1 is no longer an inactive user. Let's try user 2 as well. All right, and you can see that's really quick, so the administrator can just go through and look at the users and the email addresses and click on the activate user links one at a time, remove them from the inactive list, and make them active users in their web application.